All right, we're starting here on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, about five lines down. We had until now the explanation that the Rabbanan require two walls, plus a third wall that is only a tefach. The Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the teacher says that third wall must be a tefach. Now, Rabbi Simon, V'itema Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar, Oselo tefach sochei umamido bipachot mishloshat tefachim samuch ledofen. So until now, we spoke about that extra tefach either being adjacent to the two perpendicular walls. We had a question, a possible question from Rav Asi and Rav Gehano that it may be on an angle, but that was the only thing that was required. Now, Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Shuman Levi come along and introduce to us a new concept, which is La Locha. That third wall that's a tefach cannot just be adjacent to the perpendicular walls. It actually has to be a little bit away from them, which is that he makes a tefach sochek. There are two types of tefachim. There's what we call a tefach atzev, and then there's a tefach sochek. Sochek comes from the word skok, which means laughter, and it means a wide tefach. It's a tefach that has space between it. Rashi says you use thumbs with gapping between them, versus a tefach atzev, which is an upset face, which means a tight tefach. So tefach sochek, which is a wide tefach, really is more than a tefach. It's a tefach plus. Then he puts that within three tefachim close to the wall. Now by doing that, he generates a halachic wall on that third side that is four tefachim wide. He has the perpendicular walls, and then he puts this beam or this upright that is a little more than a tefach wide within three tefachim of one of the perpendicular corners. And by doing so, he creates a wall of three tefachim. The beam, the upright itself, is a little more than a tefach. Less than three tefachim is lavud. It's as if it doesn't exist. So now I have four tefachim. Four tefachim is the majority of a minimum size wall for a sukkah. The minimum size wall for a sukkah is seven tefachim. Rashi says in many places here that it's seven tefachim plus a mashahu. But either way, four tefachim is the rove of a wall. So what Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Shua ben Levi say over here is that tefach that you're using over here is to generate a wall that is a minimum of four tefachim. That four tefachim is the majority of what would be a minimum wall of sukkah, and that's how you get this third wall, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Because, oselo tefach sochek, mamido b'pachot mishlosha tefachim samuch ledofen, b'chol pachot mishlosha samuch ledofen, k'lovu dami. Anything that's within three tefachim is as if it's closed up. That's another halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. And therefore, you have a wall now that is four tefachim wide. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda, sukkah asuya k'mavui. If you have a sukkah that is like a mavui here means a mavui hamifulash. Instead of having two perpendicular walls, you have two parallel walls. So until now, we've spoken about a sukkah that has two walls that are perpendicular, and then we're trying to create the third wall. Now we're talking about a sukkah that has two parallel walls, and we're trying to create the third wall. So that, he says, is kshera. That's okay. V'oto tefach mamido l'chol ruach shirtzeh. And he can put the tefach on either side. Either open side of the parallel walls, he puts on the tefach and he's fine. So this would be equivalent to what Rav said before, Shmuel said before, that he put it keneged hayotzeh. He put it adjacent to the wall, one of the two walls, and the tefach sticks out a little bit. So then again, now we have Rabbi Simon, Riyatim, Rabbi Shuman, Levi Amar, Oselo pas arba'ah mashu. Now you have to make a board that is a minimum of four plus tefachim, umamido b'pachot mishlosha samuch ledofen. And you have to place it within three tefachim of one of the parallel walls. So here again, Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Simon introduce two things. One is that we're not just talking about a tefach. We are talking about here a board that is at least a minimum of a four plus tefachim. But not only that, you don't put that adjacent to the parallel walls. You put that away from them, a little less than three tefachim away from those parallel walls. And by doing so, you actually create a wall, a third wall that is seven tefachim long. Now, seven tefachim, again, is the minimum shi'ur for a wall in the sukkah. By placing a board that is four plus tefachim within three tefachim of the wall, I have lavud. Lavud wipes out those three tefachim. That's what the mashahu is there for. The mashahu is to get into the three tefachim. Those three tefachim plus the four tefachim of the board equals seven tefachim. Again, according to Rashi, seven tefachim plus a mashahu. But because of that, I now have a wall that is seven tefachim long. And that's how I get my third wall. Because, when you're within three tefachim of the wall, it's as if it doesn't exist. So the obvious question is, why in the case where you have perpendicular walls, that over there, all you need is to have a tefach plus the lavud, you get a total of 4 tefachim, and that's fine. By the case of parallel walls, to come out by pas arba'a, there you require not a tefach, but a board of 4, which means you need a total of 7 tefachim. So why do you need 7 tefachim by the parallel walls, and you only need a 4 tefachim by the perpendicular walls? Where it says, Hatom diga shtei tefanot kehil chatan. Over there we have 2 walls, kehil chatan, that are halachically appropriate. Sagile b'tefach sochek. Therefore, the third wall only has to be that short wall, the 4 tefachim. Hacha deleka shtei tefanot. Over here we don't have 2 walls. Now here it's missing the word kehil chatan, but that's the gist of what the Gemara is saying. Iga pas arba in. If you have that board that's 4 tefachim, then it works. Ilolo. If not, not. So what the Gemara in the end says is, there's a difference between perpendicular walls and parallel walls. We have the same thing happen in Mavoi. There's a difference between a Mavoi HaMifulash, Mavoi that's open and has walls on the 2 sides, versus a Mavoi Shenu Mifulash. Now, Mavoi Shenu Mifulash really has 3 walls to it, but the concept is the same. When you have 2 parallel walls, you really have not necessarily closed an area. The 2 walls are opposite each other. All you've done is created a pathway or a breezeway that goes through them. You haven't created a designated or delineated area. So because of that, my third wall has to be more significant in order to create the 3 walls of the sukkah. On the other hand, when I have perpendicular walls, I have defined or delineated an area that will be the sukkah. So because I already have that, the third wall does not have to be a full 7 tefachim. It would be sufficient to have the 4 tefachim on that third wall, because I don't need a full third wall, I just need a representative third wall in order to get there. And that's the difference between parallel walls and perpendicular walls. Now, Amar Rava. Now we have here 3 statements from Rava, which are interesting. They introduce a new part to this puzzle, which is, Ve'ena niteret ela b'tzurat ha-petach. This tefach, the way that we'll read it now, is Rava says, this tefach needs tzurat ha-petach. Tzurat ha-petach, as we know it from Eruvin, means you have 2 uprights, and you have something on top, a cross beam on the top, and that's called a tzurat ha-petach. So the way to understand Rava here at this point is that tefach that we just spoke about, split it in half. You put a half a tefach on one end of that third wall, half a tefach on the other end of that third wall, and then you put a beam across the top, and that's what that tefach is functioning. That tefach is functioning to create a tzurat ha-petach on the third wall. Now, even as Tosafot points out, in Eruvin, you don't need a half tefach on each side. You can have a mashu of uprights, a mashu of a cross beam, as long as it's able to hold up a doorway, even a straw doorway. You can hold up a doorway, it's good enough. So why here by sukkah do we need something more extensive? And that's what he says, Gabi sukkah hechmiru d'bina mechitzot ha-nikarot. Over here by sukkah we are machmir because you need mechitzot ha-nikarot. That was a statement of Rava back on Daf Dalid, that the reason that an amud that is 10 tefachim high, that is 4x4, does not work, even though for Shabbat it creates a separate reshut, by sukkah doesn't work, because you don't have mechitzot ha-nikarot. You have to have visible, understandable mechitzot in order for it to be a sukkah. Over here too, by Tzurat HaPetach, we're going to ask you for something more significant than otherwise would have been true on a case of Shabbat or in the case of Eruvin. So that's the first statement of Rava, which says that the case here that we're speaking about involves a tefach, but that tefach is now split into 2 half tefachim that are the uprights for a Tzurat HaPetach that forms the doorway. Now we have Ikeh d'Amrei, Amar Rava, v'niteret nami b'tzurat ha-petach, that it can also use the tzurat ha-petach. Now this statement of Rava seems to be different than the first statement of Rava. That Rashi points out. The way Rashi reads this is that each statement here of Rava argues on a different statement of Rava. The Ikeh d'Amrei are a total different view of what the previous statement was. The previous statement said you need a tzurat ha-petach, period. How do you create that tzurat ha-petach? Half tefach, and a crossbeam. Over here, niteret nami, the key word here is nami, b'tzurat ha-petach, which means you have a choice. Either you do what Reb Simon and Reb Shua ben Levi said, which is you put the tefach within 3 tefachim of the wall, or you use a tzurat ha-petach. Ikeh d'Amrei, now we have a third version of Rava over here. That third version of Rava says, b'tziricha nami tzurat ha-petach, that you must have a tzurat ha-petach. So in this third version of Rava, which is the way we pass in a halacha, not only do you need the 1 tefach within 3 tefachim of the wall, you also need a tzurat ha-petach for the remainder of that third side. That on that whole third wall, you have not only within the three tefachim of the wall, you have that one tefah upright, which gives you the four tefachim. For the remainder of that wall, you also have to have a surat ha-petach. So then you'll have a tefah by the wall, the original wall that comes around the perpendicular walls, you have the tefah. On the far side of that, you'll have an upright, whatever size, doesn't matter. Then you have a crossbeam that goes across them to create that third wall, that surat ha-petach plus the tefah. So that's the way that Rashi reads it. Rashi reads it, you have three stages here in Rava. The Ikadamre has three different opinions within Rava. One opinion is that Surat HaPetach replaces the Tefach that we spoke about by splitting it up and making it into a Surat HaPetach. The second opinion says that it's either or. Either you have a Surat HaPetach or you have the Tefach. And the third opinion is that you need both, Surat HaPetach and the Tefach. The Balamor brings from the Oruch that actually the first statement is this only statement of Rava. That is, you need a Surat HaPetach. Then the next two statements of the Ikad Amrei are coming to define what the first statement said. So the second two statements say, one statement says it means either or, and the next statement means it says and. And that's all that's happening. The first statement just says you need a Surat HaPetach. Then the next two statements say, what does that mean, you need Surat HaPetach? Is that instead of the Tefach or together with the Tefach? So the way the Oruch reads it, it's not they're not arguing on each other, but rather the latter two are defining what the first statement was in Rava. And now we'll see that we actually paskin like that last shito in Rava, because Rav Ashi Ashkechei the Rav Kahana Teka Avid Tefach Sochek Teka Avid Surat HaPetach. Rav Ashi found Rav Kahana making not only the Tefach but also the Surat HaPetach. Amalei Lo Savar Mar Lahad Rava. Don't you hold like Rava that implying that it could be either or? Why do you need both? Amar Rava Mi Teret Nami B'Surat HaPetach. Nami means either or. Really, I hold like that other lashon. I mean, the last time that we saw Rava, the last lashon of Rava, you need both Surat HaPetach as well as the Tefach Sochei. And that's why we pass on the local, because here we have Maaser Rav. We have a case law here, which says that Rav Kahana explains that we pass on like that last shita in Rava. And that is how you make that last wall, halachic wall. If you have to make a sukkah with the halachic wall, you need the Tefach Sochei. And you need Surat HaPetach in order for that last wall to be a kosher wall in terms of sukkah. Right now, we move on to something that I mentioned back on Daf Dalid. Here, the Gemara that we have is a Girsa of Amar Rava. The Bach, Rashi, many others change it to Amar Rava. And that's throughout the sugya here that it's Amar Rava. There are probably a number of reasons, likely because this sugya seems to argue on Rava on a number of points. One of them is the issue of Surat HaPetach. The sugya never mentions Surat HaPetach. That's number one. Number two is, back on Daf Dalet, Rava says, the Gabe Sukkah, that you have Mechitzot and Ikarot. Over here, the Gemara makes no mention of that, and the Gemara is going to go back and forth between Sukkah and Shabbat without any problem. It's a good Mechitzot of Shabbat, it's a good Mechitzot of Sukkah, good Mechitzot of Sukkah, it's a good Mechitzot of Shabbat. Doesn't even address that issue of Mechitzot and Ikarot that are demanded back on Daf Dalet, which is also a Shito of Rava. So that's maybe why it makes more sense that Rava is the author of this position. Again, you can answer all of these questions and reconcile the differences between Mechitzot and Ikarot, as well as Surat HaPetach, but nevertheless, the Girsa here is Amar Rabba. He says, V'chein l'Shabbat. It's true also of Shabbat. Migo d'havya dofin l'inyan sukkah, havya dofin l'inyan Shabbat. Since it functions as a wall for sukkah, it will also function as a wall for Shabbat. On a normal Shabbat, this wall would not suffice. It would not work. Because a wall for Shabbat has requirements, including that the omeid has to be merube al haparutz. The standing wall has to be greater than the open area. So in terms of Shabbat, you don't have necessarily a wall over here. That's why it may not fit like Rava, because here, if you had a Surat HaPetach, Surat HaPetach is a good wall for Shabbat. We learned that in the Gemara in Eruvin, that the only time you have a problem with open space is when it doesn't have a Surat HaPetach. A Surat HaPetach makes it that the open space is fine. That's the way that our Eruv works today. Our Eruv is a series of Tzurot type of Techaim that we just have. Tzurat HaPetach, Tzurat HaPetach, that's how they build the Eruv. Even though the Omed is Mubel HaParutz, it's not a problem because it's a Tzurat HaPetach. Obviously, people like the Rambam who paskin that you need Omed HaParutz, even in that situation, have a problem with our modern day Eruv, and that's why Sfaradim and some of the Briskers don't use these Eruvim because there's too much open space. But, in essence, a Tzurat HaPetach would work. And that's why we must not be talking about a case of Tzurat HaPetach. Talking about a case where you create this halacha l'moshe misinai wall for sukkah that in halukot Shabbat would not qualify. Yet, what Rabba says over here is, because it qualifies for sukkah, it will also qualify for Shabbat, And now, if you make such a sukkah, you can actually carry in that area. Despite the fact that it was just Shabbat, you would not be able to carry in such an area. So the Gemara says, so migo davia dofenin sukkah, via dofenin in Shabbat. Since it works or functions as a wall for sukkah, it also now functions as a wall for Shabbat. Eitebe abayi, Abayi challenges it. Umi amrinan migo, do we say such a concept? Vatanya, we have a brayta. Dofen sukkah ke dofen Shabbat. Dofen sukkah and dofen Shabbat are equal. As long as they have less than 3 tefachim between each upright. So this is something that we learned in Eruvin, that you can make a mechitza by placing rods, uprights, within 3 tefachim of each other. By using lovud, you're able to put up a series of uprights that creates a wall, and that wall is considered to be closed in because each one of the uprights is less than 3 tefachim away from the next one. By doing so, then you create a full wall along that side. So that works for Shabbat, and it also works for Sukkah. That type of wall is good for both of them. That's how, again, the Sukkot that have the linen or the bad for their walls that move too much in the wind, they created the Sukkot at the bottom of the base of the Sukkot, they put in 3 strings that go around, that are less than 3 tefachim away from each other, that reach up to 10 tefachim, create a halachic wall like on Shabbat, which is you can either do it by putting uprights, or you can put up sticks and then put strings across that are less than 3 tefachim away that reach up to the 10 tefachim level, and you create a wall. So that wall works for Sukkah, and it works for Shabbat as well. But then we have the additional statement, which is, V'yiteira Shabbat al Sukkah. Shabbat has a chumrah above Sukkah. Sheshabbat eni terat ela be'omei muba ala parutz. By Shabbat, you have to have more standing wall than open wall. Mashein kein b'sukkah. By Sukkah, that is not the case. So that means that by Sukkah, if the other walls, for instance, are full-fledged walls, but they happen to have doorways in them, or they happen to have openings in them that do not disqualify the wall, but they're still open. And then together with this third wall, you have more opening, more parutz than omeid, then on Shabbat, this would not function as a mechitza. Yet for Sukkah, it'd be totally fine. Sukkah has no requirement of a omeid mubel, a parutz, that there's more standing wall than open wall. So because of that, Shabbat would disqualify this mechitza, where Sukkah would be fine with it. It makes it sound like from the Braita that you could have a wall that works for Sukkah and does not work for Shabbat, which would be against Rabba's position before, that if it works for Sukkah, it should work for Shabbat. My love, this is how to read the Braita. Yitera Shabbat to Sukkah as Sukkah. Shabbat of Sukkah has a greater chumrah than Sukkah itself. Ve'lo amrinan migo. And we don't say migo that it works for Sukkah, it also works for Shabbat. Where it says, lo, Tera Shabbat to Alma al Shabbat to Sukkah. Shabbat in general has a chumrah above Shabbat during Sukkot. Shabbat during Sukkot has a lower threshold or a lower standard for walls because whatever works for Sukkah will work for Shabbat. So Yetera Shabbat, Shabbat beside Shabbat Sukkah, is in a different position. Rashi over here gives 2 interpretations, very interesting. He says that maybe if you have a wall that's in a Sukkah that wouldn't qualify on Shabbat but qualifies for Sukkah, it works on Shabbat Sukkot. Or maybe even if this wall is not found in a Sukkah, but because it's Shabbat Sukkot, and such a wall would work on Sukkot, it works on that Shabbat, even outside of the context of Sukkah. Rashi says, Inami, he brings that second interpretation, which is pretty a big chiddush, that even outside the context of Sukkah, because it's Shabbat Sukkot, that wall would be good enough for Shabbat on that week. And that sounds a little bit like that from the Gemara over here, which is, no, Yetera Shabbat Alma, a Shabbat to Sukkah. That Shabbat in general is different than the Shabbat of Sukkot. So it sounds like it's just Shabbat we're talking about, not about in the context of Sukkah. It just happens to be Shabbat Sukkot has different rules than Shabbat in general. Yachi, that's the case. Litnei Nami, Yitera Sukkah Da'ama, Sukkah de Shabbat. Why don't you say that a Sukkah in general has a Chumrah over the Sukkah of Shabbat? Dilu Sukkah Da'ama by Tefach Sochek. By a Sukkah in general, you require the Tefach Sochek, which was what we mentioned above. The way that you create a third wall. Vilu sukkah de Shabbat, lo bayi tefach sochek. You don't need that third wall to be a tefach sochek. Vesagi velechi. And it's enough just to put up a lechi. Daha hu ate amart. You are the one who said, sikeich agabi mavui sheesh le lechi kasher. You put schach on top of a mavui that has a lechi, it's fine. So now, what you have here is a question from Abaye. Okay, you want to suggest that the braita means Shabbat in general is different than Shabbat Sukkot. But ain't achanami. If a wall works for Sukkah on Sukkot, then it also works for Shabbat. And there is no difference between Sukkot and Shabbat with regards to these walls. Then why doesn't the Braita also address the issue that there's a reversal of roles as well, which is just like the wall for Sukkah. If it works for Sukkah, it works for Shabbat. The opposite is also true. That if a wall works for Shabbat, it also works for Sukkah. And that Rabba himself says, which is that if it's good enough for a mechitza on Shabbat, it's good enough to be your wall of your Sukkah. That would turn out, though, that Sukkah, which normally has a chumrah, which is that you need that third wall that you need, has to be a tefach tzochei, a tefach wide plus, you know, the gapping in between, if you hold like a Meshuv and Levi, Rabbi Simon. And as regards to Shabbat, when it comes to a lechi can be a kosher. That wall that you need the lechi on to create that wall on the mevui side, that lechi can be any size. And if that's the case, now Shabbat of Sukkot is more kal than Sukkot in general. Sukkot in general, that would be pasul. But on Shabbat, now it's okay. Why does the Breita ignore that contrast, really, between a regular Sukkot and Sukkot de Shabbat? So now the Gemara answers. I want to come back and discuss what I just said in 1 second, but the Gemara says that's not a problem because hahu lo itstrichale, that you don't have to tell me. Hashta mikilto the chamirta amrinan. Over here you say from the kula to the chumra. Which is more chamur, Sukkah or Shabbat? Obviously Shabbat, which is the Shabbat Shabbaton as a punishment of karet and skila, is more chamur than Sukkah, as well as Sukkot in general. So therefore, if you can extrapolate and take a din of Sukkah and apply it to Shabbat, it's a good wall for Sukkah, it's a good wall for Shabbat, then mechamitra lekilta lekoshke, then certainly you can take a wall of Shabbat and say it's good enough for Sukkah. If you're willing to say that we can interchange walls of Sukkah with Shabbat, and you're doing it in the direction of going from the lower standard to the higher standard, meaning from Sukkah to Shabbat, then certainly you can go from Shabbat back to Sukkah, and that's why the Braita does not mention that case. All right, so a number of things here. First of all, the Gemara, as I mentioned before, only mentions Tefach Sochek here and does not mention Tzurata Petach. Meaning that if you really thought you needed Tzurata Petach as well, it would be, by Shabbat you require a Lechi, by Sukkah you require a Tefach Sochek plus a Tzurata Petach. Here, the Gemara does not mention Tzurata Petach. And for that reason, some of the Rishonim, the Paskin, that you don't need Tzurata Petach in the end, and that it's enough to have a Tefach Sochek. We don't pass on that way the Alocha, but you could see why they would come to that conclusion here in the Gemara. You could just read it. The Gemara is saying Tefach Sochek plus all the other trappings that come along with it, which means Tzureta Petach. That's number one. Number two is, what type of lechi are we speaking about here? In general, when we talk about a mavui has three walls to it, a mavui shenu muflash, and you put a lechi on the fourth wall. So to tell me that a mavui that has a lechi on it works as a Sukkah and Shabbat, okay, what do you mean? I don't even need that fourth wall. Three of the walls already exist. That's good enough for Sukkah. So what do I need the lechi for on the fourth wall at all? So Rashi here is mechadesh, something, to deal with this issue. It's going to come up now, and it's going to come up again as we move on in the Gemara a second. Tosafot raises the question right away, which is, mavoi is a din derabonon. Mavoi with three walls technically is a reshut yachid. You put a lechi on the fourth wall because that's a din derabonon to put on the fourth wall. What does that have to do with sukkah deoraita? Sukkah, we're looking for three walls deoraita. So you have three walls and a mavoi, I'm done. I don't need the lechi on the fourth wall. Now you're trying to tell me that the third wall for Sukkah can have a lechi on it? There's no such concept in the case of mavoi. So Rashi explains and says, here we're talking about a mavoi mifulash. Talking about a mavoi that has two parallel walls, and you put a lechi on one side. Well, that doesn't work on Shabbat. We know that. Nobody thinks that that is a good enough mavoi to carry in except for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that that area is okay to carry in deoraita. That becomes a reshut yachid. When you put a lechi, you have to put up on both sides, possibly a lechi on both sides. But a lechi is sufficient in a mavui mifulash to create a reshut yachid. He talks about it in the case where you have houses on two sides of reshut rabim, and then you have either a bridge that goes across it that creates a covered area, or he has two walls and he puts up a lechi on each side. That's good enough to create an area that's called a reshut yachid. What Rashi says is that everybody agrees that when you put up a lechi with a mavui mifulash, deoraita, that becomes a reshut yachid. Midrabanan, we still think that's not good enough, and therefore you have to do more than that. The question of what more than that means, you have to put up a lechi on both sides. If it's a reshut rabim, maybe you have to close off one side of it, you have to put up a tzuret petach, whatever it is you have to do to make it derabanan good enough. But midoraita, putting up a lechi is sufficient. And that's the way Rashi solves the problem. Rashi says here that this lechi makes this area into a reshut yachid deoraita. And therefore it works for Sukkah. Even though midrabanan you can't carry on it. Which would now be an interesting phenomenon. Which is that on a regular Shabbat you put up a lechi like this, you would not be able to carry in that area. Now that you put up a lechi on Shabbat of Sukkot, number one, it's a good enough wall for Sukkah. Because deoraita, now you have three walls. And beyond that, now that you have a sukkah, you can carry in the sukkah because it's a good enough sukkah. If it's good enough for sukkah, it's also good enough for Shabbat. And now you can carry inside of the sukkah. There are other Rishonim who say no, that even if you put it up this way, you wouldn't be able to carry inside of it. But you would have three walls that would make it into a kosher sukkah. That's the way Rashi solves the problem. Tosafot does not like Rashi's solution because there's not everybody holds of this idea. He says the only opinion that holds that one lechi works is Rabbi Yehuda, and there's not a single Amora that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody else holds like the Rabbana, and then we're talking about a Mavu Shenu Mufalash, and we're talking about a lechi. So therefore, Tosafot rejects it. He first tries to say lesson. What the Gemara here is saying is that we're talking about a lechi that creates a wall derabanan, and also here we're talking about a din derabanan. The din derabanan that we're talking about here is tefach sochek, which he says the tefach might be a lech lemoshe misinai, but the fact that you have to put it within three tefachim of the wall and create the four tefachim over there, maybe that's only a din derabanan, and you could forego that by replacing it with a lechi of a mavoi. But then he goes on to give an explanation, which was very interesting. He says, you know what you did? The person did here, he had a mavoi sheinu mifalash, three walls and a lechi. But he only put up schach at the end of the mavoi. He did not put up schach all the way to the back of the mavoi. He only put up schach at the front, at the entrance to the mavoi. The open side of the mavoi. So now what are your three walls? Your three walls are the two parallel walls and the lechi on that side. That creates your three walls. So there, on Shabbat, that would be totally fine. Meaning that that mavoi is considered to be closed in. That third wall, that lechi, is a mechitza in regard to Shabbat. Since it's a good enough lechi to be a mechitza for Shabbat, therefore, also for Sukkot, that'll be your third wall without having the normal rules of tefach sochek. And that's the way Tosafot solves the problem. The Tosafot says that whether lechi is mishum heker or lechi is mishum mechitza, that we have in the Gemara in Eruvin, they argue about what's the purpose of lechi. Is lechi for a heker? Is lechi for a mechitza? Tosafot says it applies to both opinions. It doesn't matter because in the end, the lechi functions as that third side. On the other hand, Rashi seems to indicate here that when Baye asks the question of Rabbi, he's saying, Lididach. According to you, he says that a lechi is mishum mechitza. So Rashi thinks it's a din in mechitza because he does it with a mavoya mifalash, and the last lechi is going to be a real mechitza for him. That's Rabbi Lishitato, that type of lechi is considered to be a mechitza. So according to Rashi, it only works when lechi is mishum mechitza. According to Tosafot, it doesn't matter. As long as there's a lechi there, since that lechi functions within a mavoy shenu mifalash to be a wall, or the equivalent of a wall, therefore Sukkot, it also has that same status. And therefore, if you cover over the end of the mavoi, towards the open side of the mavoi, that will qualify as a sukkah with three walls. So now the Gemara says, Gufa, Omar Rabba. Rabba said here that Sikeh, Agave Mavoi, Shiesh Lo Lechi Ksheira. That if you put skach on top of a mavoi that has a lechi, it's Ksheira. We just discussed what exactly that case is. Velma Rabba. Now we have another statement of Rabba, which is Sikeh, Agave Pasei Biraot Ksheira. If you put skach on top of the Pasei Biraot, it's also Ksheira for a sukkah. Now, takes us back to Eruvin a little bit. You can see in the picture in Rashi, that is the case of Pasei Biraot, is where you have a bor, you have a cistern, or a well in Rishut HaRabim, and now you want to be able to take the water out to feed your animals when you're coming up to the Ole Regalim, when people are traversing that area. So, you can't do that on Shabbat, because the bor, the cistern is a Rishut HaYachid, 10 tefachim deep, more than 4 by 4 wide. You have a problem, you have a Rishut HaYachid. Outside of it is a Rishut HaRabim. How are you going to draw the water out and feed the animal? So what the Chachamim needs to do is something called Pasei Biraot. Pasei Biraot was a way to create an area within Rishut HaRabim that would be designated to be like a Rishut HaYachid. You do that by putting up Duyumdim. Duyumdim are, we learned this before on Dav Dalet, which are perpendicular corners. Perpendicular corners that are each an amah long. So you have a corner that's an amah in each direction, and you put four of those corners up, and that's what's pictured here in Rashi. By doing that, you create what's called Pasei Biraot, and allows you to draw water from that cistern into the area that's surrounded by the Pasei Biraot, and to feed your animals in that area without having a problem with Rishut HaRabim. Now, it's true, that's only a dispensation was made for people, the Olei Regalim, and it was only for the behemot of the Olei Regalim, not for human beings, not for human consumption. And that's the only time you had the dispensation. Despite that fact, we're saying here that since those Pasei Biraot work as a Rishut HaYachid, make the Rishut HaYachid, they also work for Sukkah to be full-fledged walls. So even though technically for Sukkot, these would not be walls, or good enough walls, because they're only an amah each in length, and they're at the corners, and the gapping between those diyumdim, those corners, can be significant. That's a makloket we know in the Gemara in Eruvin, how wide it is, how many shvarim you can go in and out, but there's a significant open area between them. Nevertheless, since by Shabbat it works to create a Rishut HaYachid, by Sukkot it's also sufficient to create a Sukkah. So that's what Rabba says over here. V'tzricha. Now we have three statements from Rabba. Two statements here, which is one, you put tzchach on top of a mavoi, kasher for sukkah. Tzchach on top of pasei b'riot, also kasher for sukkah. And we had a statement before for Rabba about v'chein l'shabbat. If a wall works for sukkah, it also works for Shabbat. So those are three statements of Rabba, and the Gemara now says tzricha. We need all of these statements of Rabba. If you only told me about mavoi, because you have two proper walls, and the third wall is just a lechi. Aval gabe pasei biraot, the lecha shtei defanot maliyoto. By pasei biraot, you don't have any real walls. It's all these corners that kind of function as walls, that we extend them and say they are walls, but there are no real walls there. So emalo. So maybe over there I would say it doesn't work. Viashmina pasei biraot. Had you mentioned only pasei biraot, mishum deika. And here you could read either shame or sham. In Rashi, it seems to feel like the word sham, I think most people read it as shame. Deika shame arba defanot. At least by pasei biraot, you have some sort of semblance of four walls. But the four corners create the semblance of four walls there. So at least by pasei biraot, you have a semblance of four walls. Vasikecha gabi mavuay, deleka sham or shame. Arba defanot, there, you don't have a real four walls. You only have really two walls that are there. And that's it. Aim alone, maybe it shouldn't work. So that's why I need these two statements of Rabba to tell you in both cases, it works and it's good enough for sukkah. If you told me these two cases, that's because we're going mechamir to tekilto. These are dinim in Shabbat. And I'm saying now, since it's good for Shabbat, I can use it for sukkah. Because I'm going from Shabbat, which is more chamur, to sukkah, which is more kal. But what about in the reverse? Aval mikilto lechamir to aim alone. But if I go from sukkah to Shabbat, it wouldn't work. That's the third statement of Rabba. That is, if it's good enough for sukkah, it's also good enough for Shabbat. So emalo. So that's why I would say maybe not. You can't go from Sukkah to Shabbat. Tzricha. That's why Rabbi makes that last statement. The first statement we have in our sugya. But that other statement, which is that when it's good enough for Sukkah, it's good enough for Shabbat. Three statements of Rabbi, each one of them teaching us another chiddush with regards to the interplay between Sukkah and Shabbat. That whatever works for Shabbat works for Sukkah, and vice versa. Anything that works for Sukkah will also work for Shabbat. Now, whether you need mechitzot and ikarot, like we said before, Rava, again, it could be that Rava, and he disagrees with Rava, you don't need mechitzot and ikarot. Or you can argue here that this does qualify as mechitzot and ikarot. We're not asking you for full-fledged mechitzot, we're just asking you something that gives you a semblance of a mechitzah being there. In the case of the amud, where it's the walls of the height of the amud that's giving you the walls, and when you stand on top, you see nothing, that's not even mechitzot anikarot. There's nothing. You don't see anything. Since you don't see anything, that's not called mechitzot anikarot. We hear about the pasei biriot. You see four corners. So it gives you mechitzot anikarot. It gives you a definition or delineation of your mechitzot, and that may be enough. So again, you could reconcile it with mechitzot anikarot, or you could say they just argue. He doesn't think you need mechitzot anikarot. Right now, we move on to the next piece of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, shechamata meruba mitzilta psula. If there's more sunlight in the sukkah than shade, it's pasul. Tan Rabbanan. Chamata machmat sikuch, velo machmat defanot. The only time it's pasul, if there is more sunlight because of the gapping in the schach, but not because of gapping in the walls. If you have walls that, whatever reason, let through all the sunlight, no problem. So, for instance, if you use the idea here by Shabbat, that you put up the poles upright, it's less than three tefachim away from each other. So in terms of a halachic wall, you have a full wall here. In terms of sunlight, it's wide open, and the sun's going to go right through that wall. So the Chachamim say that's not a problem, because the only time you need schach, you need shade, is from the schach itself. Schach itself must have more shade than sunlight. The walls can be, in a sense, open. There's no problem whatsoever. That's the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Ushaya Omer, af machmat defanot. He says that the walls also have to be more shade than open light. That requirement of schach also applies to the wall, to the walls themselves. Amar Rabbi Yemar Bar Shlamaya, Mishmei de Abaye. My time of the Rabbi Yushaya. What is the reasoning here in position of Rabbi Yushaya? Dechtiv. Because it says, by the Mishkan, we're going to come up to in Pashat Pikudei, it says, V'sakota al haron et haparochet. It says that after you put the haron into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, then you're going to place the parochet. Now what is the parochet? The parochet is the curtain that sits between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Parochet is not something that sits on top. It's something that is upright. It's vertical. It's a divider. It's a mechitza. Yet, what is the terminology that's used here in the Torah for such a wall or mechitza? It says, v'sakota al aron et haparochet. You're going to be socheach. Socheach means like schach. You're going to create a covering with the parochet. Where it says, parochet mechitza. Parochet is an upright. It's a vertical wall Because Kari Rachmanas Chacham, the Torah calls it Schach. Alma Mechitza Kischach Beinon. That tells you that a Mechitza functions the same way that Schach functions. And just like Schach has to provide more shade than sunlight, so too, wall has to provide more shade than sunlight. Now, that's a really good proof that Rabbi Shaya brings. So now, what are the Rabbanon going to do with that? For Rabbanon, I know the Nikev Beipurta, that you fold it over a little bit. The Mechsek is Schach. The requirement of the parochet is not that you hang it straight down, so the top is hung on a rod or is hung by the rings, and then it hangs down, but rather the top also folds over a little bit, creates the equivalent of a little bit of a dofen akuma, and that it not only goes up, but it folds over a top a little bit, so it makes it as if it has a schach piece to it. And that's what it means with sakota. Not that it's classified as schach, but rather that when you put it up, you have to make it a little bit curved at the top so that it hangs over on the top. And that's the way the Chachamim read it, so they don't have that problem. Amar Abaye. So Abaye now says, Rabbi, Rabbi Shaya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Ubeit Shammai, V'Rabbi Eliezer, V'Acharim. All of these Tanaim, Kulo Sfirlo, Sukkah, Dirat Keva, Bainan. They all believe that a Sukkah has to be a Dirat Keva. It has to be a permanent living space, or Ra'ui to be a permanent living space. Now what's clear here, and Tosafot mentions as well, is that they don't all have the same opinion. They have different gedarim about what it means dirat keva, but all of their opinions seem to indicate that it has to be a livable space that you would stay in for the duration. And therefore, they all believe that sukkah has to be a dirat keva. Rabbi, what's Rabbi's opinion? D'tanya, Rabbi Omer kol sukkah shein ba arba amot al arba amot psula. Rabbi believes that a minimum shear of sukkah is 4 amot by 4 amot, not like the opinion of the other Tanaim, which is that it can be Osho Rubo Vishulchano. Osho Rubo Vishulchano is 7 by 7 tfachim, or 7 amashu by 7 amashu. Very small area, because it's functional. You can eat in there. That's all you need to do. Whereas Rabbi is saying it's got to be 4 amot by 4 amot, because you need a space that you would stay in for the duration. He's saying that it's got to be something that you would live in normally. Remember we saw before that the minimum shear of a bayit for mezuzah and for all these other halachot was 4 by 4 amot. And we said that exception is sukkah. Rabbi says sukkah is the same as all the other batim. The Chachamim says sukkah is an exception because you only need to have a dirat arai, you don't have to have a dirat keva. Implying that Rabbi believes it has to be like a regular bayit, 4 by 4 amot. So Rabbi says 4 by 4 amot, so it's dirat keva. Okay, for Rabbi, that's the definition. That's what Tosafot says. Now, not everybody's coming at this from the same perspective. You're right, that each one of them comes at it from a different perspective. Rabbi seems to indicate that the space is what determines in terms of dirat keva. Rabbi Shaya Hadamran. Rabbi Shaya is who we just spoke about right now. He says that the walls have to provide more shade than sunlight. The walls have to be good enough that they are mechitzot that don't let the light in. I mean that they're walls that are real walls, not just walls that are halakhic walls or walls that just cover over the space but let all the sunlight in. They have to protect you. Well, that's a good question. I don't know what he would say about a glass wall. It's possible that Rabbi Shaya would have a problem with a glass wall. It might be problematic according to Rabbi Shaya. But at least he says you need real walls to be there in order to protect. And that may be from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, which tells us that the walls protect you from the chorev, from the sun. That only works if the walls themselves also protect you. If it's just the schach, then the walls aren't functioning. You can't stay there for a long duration because it's not really going to protect you. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, that's not. Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah. Sukkah shikvoa lamala mikafa ma psula. Sukkah that's higher than 20 amot is psula. Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's fine? Because he thinks that Dirat Keva is good for a Sukkah. Now, this is interesting, because earlier on, when Ravo explained the Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah as being between Dirat Arai and Dirat Keva, Abaye challenged him. Abaye says, why do you have to say that, Ravo? Who says the Chachamim disagree with that? Or who says Rabbi Yehuda believes that Dirat Keva? So it's funny that Abaye here says that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's a Dirat Keva. Yet he was the one who challenged Rava before. So the Rishonim deal with this in a different way. Some of them say that Abaye changed his mind. After Rava responded to him, he changed his mind and said that that is Rav Yehuda's position. Others of the Rishonim say that Abaye believes that Rav Yehuda believes it's Dirat Keva. All he was saying to Rava is that, how do you know the Chachamim don't believe that? Maybe the Chachamim also agree with that. That's another possibility. Or, over here, the suggestion is that Rav Yehuda's Makshir can have 20 amot high, versus that you must have 20 amot high. Later on in the Masechta, and that's what Tosafot points out, from our Mishnah it may not be obvious. But from later on in the Masechta, it's obvious that Rehuda believes that a Sukkah has to be a Dirat Keva. and from the Gemara in Yoma as well, that Rabbi Yehuda believes it has to be a Dirat Keva. Since Rabbi Yehuda definitely believes it has to be a Dirat Keva, we know that. Maybe not from our Mishnah, but we know that Halacha, that Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's a Dirat Keva. Whether the Chachamim disagree with that, that's a different story, and that might be a biased question to Rava. But he can say with certainty that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sukkah has to be a Dirat Keva. Now, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, Bet Ki Hilchatam V'Gimel Afilu Tefa. We just saw that machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. We believe you need two real walls, plus a third one that's a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gimel Ki Hilchatam V'Dalid Afilu Tefach. You need three real walls, plus the fourth one could be a tefach. So Rabbi Shimon requires a much more significant sukkah. It requires three real walls, plus a fourth wall that's at least a tefach. So Rabbi Shimon is requiring something that's more significant, and it sounds like because he requires Dirat Keva. Rabbi Gamliel, the Tanya. Where do we know Rabbi Gamliel from? The Tanya. Osis sukkato barosh agala. O barosh asfina. Someone who puts on a sukkah on the top of a wagon. Or on the top of a sfina. Rabbi Gamliel posel. Rabbi Akiva makshir. Rabbi Gamliel says it's pasul, whereas Rabbi Akiva says it's mutar. Now, the Gemara over there discusses what the problem is. The problem is that the boat is floating along the water, moving. Or the winds on the sea are too high, and they're going to blow the sukkah away. So because of that, Rabbi Gamliel says it's not a good enough sukkah. You need a sukkah that can stand and remain there. It has to be a permanent structure, otherwise it's not good enough. So that's how Rabbi Gamliel fits into this grouping. Beit Shammai, what about Beit Shammai at the time? Mishaya roshov rubo b'sukkah, shukhano b'tocha bait, Beit Shammai poslim, Beit Hillel machshirim. There's between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is whether you need your table in the sukkah or not. So Beit Hillel completely doesn't think you need a dirat keva. Who would make a house without your table inside the house? Beit Shammai requires a table to be in the house, seems to be indicating that you have to have a place that you would stay in, that you would have all your functional items in there. That means that you and your table have to be inside of sukkah, which implies that Beit Shammai requires, again, a dirat keva. It's not so clear that that means as far a dirat keva as some of the other opinions here, but at least more than Beit Hillel. And then we had the next opinion that Abayi says that has a dirat keva is Rabbi Eliezer. Tatan, how says sukkato kamin tzrif, osha samchala kotel. If you make a sukkah out of a tzrif is like if you take a haystack and you dug out a hole in the middle of it, that is a tzrif, like a hut like that. Oh, shesamcha the kotel. Put the schach on an angle. Instead of having walls, the wall and the schach are together, like the roof of a house. When you're up in the attic, you have a room in the attic, then the ceiling and the walls are one, because on the angle. So same thing over here. You put your schach on an angle to function both as the wall and the roof. So Rabbi Lezer says in both those cases that it is a psula, that it doesn't work. Pasul shepijain lagag, doesn't have a roof. He says you got to have a real house. You got to have walls and a roof. You can't have the roof and the walls being the same thing. And therefore, you see, Rabbi Lez also requires a dirat keva. Rechamim makshirim, rechamim makshir over there. Now, the last individual that Rabbi Meir says is dirat keva is achirim. The Tanya, achirim omrim, sukkah asuya keshovach, psula. If you have a sukkah that's made like a shovach, circular, like a dovecot, like a rotundo, then it's psula shein la zaviot, because it doesn't have corners. Since it doesn't have corners, it's not really walls. It's not really a house. And therefore, it's pasul. So that's the position of the Achirim. And based on that, we say that the Achirim believe that you need a dirat keva. Now, we're going to stop here because Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us you can't have a circular sukkah. And that's going to launch us into the sugya of geometry tomorrow, which will take us through tomorrow, that complex case. We've done it before in Eruvin. Okay, we'll stop over here.